This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
To the Annie Fry Show, our YouTube live chat poll for today on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. When will you consume news the most? Do you think that you really peaked before the election? Do you feel like it's now after the election while news is starting to roll in? Or are you anticipating the other side of the holidays? January rolls around. Fresh new year, fresh new president. I'm so excited.
New year, new you.
New us.
New everyone.
New state, Canada.
Yes.
Is Greenland on the table?
I hope so.
I'm actually kind of excited about the thought.
Everything is for sale, Annie.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Caveat, because if we take
Canada. You're going to say caviar. I'm like,
no.
I'm not interested.
No caviar.
No.
Not here. When you take Canada, when we decide to make Canada.
When we take Canada. I like that. We will be greeted as liberators.
The 51st state, we have to also liberate Southern Illinois because the Senate seats. You know, that's going to be a Dem-lean state.
This is the perfect time to do it.
Canada.
Mm-hmm. While everybody's distracted taking Canada, we secede.
Mm-hmm. Are there still tickets available for the St. Clair County Republican Christmas Day dinner?
Yeah, I think
Christmas
so.
Party?
Yeah, that's tonight.
Who's the speaker?
Oh, gosh. He's somebody who, he's annoying because all he does is hawk his new book, The Grocery List.
Brian Wiggins, featured speaker at the St. Clair County Republican Christmas Party.
That's tonight. Be there or be a square. We're taking Canada.
St. Clair County?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you mean Southern Illinois is going
that
to take over Canada.
Speech.
And that's how it works.
I
our
haven't
terms.
Thought through the details.
I wouldn't. I would go with that.
Okay.
That should be your speech. How to take Canada.
Can you imagine?
I have a whole speech prepared. I'm going to crumple that thing up, throw it out.
Oh,
here's
man.
What we're going to do tonight.
I gotta speak from my heart.
Missouri and Illinois alike. How important is it to be invested and involved in your county Republican organization?
That's actually one of the reasons I'm going to this tonight is because I just want to encourage people because there are so many people. We meet them at events. We do the golf events every year with them.
Yep.
And different things with Madison County too. There are so many people working all the time, and a lot of them just volunteers. Mm-hmm. They're just working because they believe it's the right thing to do, and they're working hard, and nobody will ever know their names. And I get to go tonight and just hopefully be an encouragement to stay with it, you know, stick with it because we're seeing progress all over the place. And in Illinois, man, you got to be devoted, and they are.
I'm actually going to be at two events in 2025, and I don't have the specifics on the dates and everything, but we'll be talking about them here. Some northern counties that I haven't gone to speak to and be at those dinners. So I do a ton of stuff with Madison County, done a ton of stuff with the great people in St. Clair County Republicans as well. I've done stuff with Missouri, Jefferson County Republicans, St. Louis County Republicans, St. Charles County Republicans. Go find your county Republicans. And I'm going to tell you this, and you county Republican people who are listening right now, hear me out. If you think, if there's somebody out there right now who's not involved with the county Republicans, and you're like, oh, I don't need to be going to golf scrambles and dinners and all the time. But you are complaining about your taxes. If you're complaining about your personal property taxes, Missouri, if you're complaining about your property taxes, Illinois, maybe Missouri too, why not complain about another tax? If you're complaining about the stupid laws that your state government will or will not enforce, and I'm talking to both of you, you got supermajority Republicans on the West, supermajority of Democrats on the East, and we're all a little bit frustrated with what's going on in our states. Go sign up at a county Republican event wherever you are. Go to one. Find them on Facebook. It's probably the best, easiest, no-brainer thing you can do. Find it on Facebook. And if you are looking through and you're like, gosh, these people have a ton of great ideas, or these people are moving and shaking, find something that fits your lane and participate. If you're looking and you're like, these people aren't doing anything I'm interested, get involved and come up with something that you would be interested in, because there's another person in your county that would be interested in the same things that you are interested in getting involved in, that maybe they haven't tapped into yet because you haven't signed up yet. Get involved. It's so important. The county Republican, the local level of government, you can make a massive amount of change. St. Clair has gone in a really, really great direction in the last few years. Madison County, fantastic. That's where you really, really start to make an actual difference in your daily lifestyle.
And just be a poll watcher, even if anything. I mean, that's a great way to get in, because you know exactly what that is. You vote, you walk in, you see people sitting there, you say their name, and they give you your ballot. That's a great way to start, because that is that's very needed, actually, in our area, because, you know, there's a lot of people. We would like more people to be watching more precincts.
Yes.
That would be very good.
You also don't have to live in the precinct you watch.
No.
Illinois,
we're looking at you. St. Clair, Madison counties.
You want to find out what we missed this week?
I'm ready.
Brad, don't look at him like he actually has to say.
What did I miss?
This is where we go to Brad and he walks me through all of the things that he pulled and worked hard to get on the show. And they just got left on the cutting room floor, not because they were bad, but I didn't get around to him. And I say, do you want to do what I miss? And Brad just very nicely looks at Ryan like, do you want to
do
it?
And I was like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
I'll tell you later.
It's just a common courtesy. I'm so nice to him, and he treats me like that.
Exactly.
Hangs me out to dry. I've got a video for you guys this week, which I'm very excited about. This is Charlie Kirk, and he's talking to a student on campus about the separation of church and state.
My name is Ranger. It's nice to meet you. All right. Hello, my name is Ranger. It's nice to meet you both.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So I have two questions for you. The first of which is, you were talking about you want an America that fears God. But it's believed to be back to the fundamentals of when this country was started and the Constitution was made, that there's supposed to be a separation of church and state, but it seems you don't believe that anymore.
Well, where does it say that in the U.S. Constitution?
It was written in the Constitution. I don't exactly remember what part, but it has been written.
It's not, actually.
Pause. What's on this guy, this Challenger shirt? Do you know? Do you identify
that? Is
that
a bunch of... It's not Pokemon, is it?
Those are furries.
Oh, is it?
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, I should know.
Yeah, you should. That's like your
I
area
just
of expertise.
Now noticed. Yeah, that's the cartoon version of furries.
Yeah, I was on a plane one time with a furry that was in full costume.
Yeah. There was a convention going on. You were headed in that direction, right?
I was headed to Pittsburgh for Cardinals baseball game. Thank you very much. And I did not know that July 4th is the furry convention in Pittsburgh. But I found that out when I flew there with the furries.
You called that Liberation Day, right?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I called that, what do I do now? Anyway, this is that really what it is?
Yeah, those are furries. That's a cartoon depiction of furries.
I don't know if you guys did the same thing, because I saw that this clip was circulating, but I hadn't watched it yet. I think I was in a place where I couldn't listen. So I've seen that it exists. The minute he asked that question, if you're a conservative, you know anything about the Constitution, you just start salivating.
Yeah. You're like, let him go. Let him go all the way.
Let him go.
Let him say everything he's got to say before I lay the smack down. All right, let's listen to him.
So, and that's okay. I'm going to help you out here.
Okay.
There's the Free Expression Clause and the Establishment Clause. So what you're thinking is of the First Amendment. What you're thinking of is that Congress shall make no law prohibiting or promoting the exercise of religion or the free exercise thereof. Now, mind you, the separation of church and state is not in the U.S. Constitution, and that's okay. Not a lot of people know this. It is from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1803 to the Danbury Baptist Convention in Massachusetts, saying to the church, the government will not come after you. There was no question at the time of the founding that God played a central role in all of our government. In fact, God is there in four times mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. And never should we, and you would agree, there should never be separation of morality and state.
So he's kind of laying out the framework of what really, really goes on here. What is the reason why people are so aggressive about the it's constitutional that we have separation of church and state?
I think it's because they want to look back at the founders and say, look, this was their original intent. They're just wrong. That was not there. It's not there. Exactly right. I mean, Charlie Kirk, when this guy starts talking, the guy wearing the furry shirt has to be going, uh-oh.
This isn't important. This doesn't sway anybody's thought on what they're listening to. I think he's holding a purse that is Kirby.
That is Kirby.
Kirby.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Kirby from what was that, like 1990? I don't know.
Yeah. It looks like a fanny pack that you wear on your arm.
It doesn't. I mean, it's just details. What were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say is they want freedom from religion, not freedom of religion. And so they view any sort of religious something as, an establishment of a state religion. And that's not what the Constitution says.
Actually, it's the opposite.
Yes.
Amendment numero uno gives you the ability to freely express and practice
right.
your religion.
And it means that the United States government or no state or local government could actually restrict that right of yours.
Or institutionalize one
right.
that precludes you from being able to practice
right.
your own, which just gives you more religious freedom than it limits the government. Once again, all of these documents limit government
yes.
from full reach of freedom to control your life. Therefore, protecting you from an overlording government.
Right.
More?
Yep.
But then I have another question, not the second question, but do you believe there should be a separation between those two things, church and state?
Well, it depends on, let's play it out. Do we currently have that? During COVID, the government was able to shut down the church. Should that be allowed?
I mean, I don't believe so, no.
Okay, so the point is that we don't even have separation of church and state because the state was able to tell the church whether or not that you could practice on Easter. Now, that's the standard that they currently have. Do I believe in a separation of morality and state? Of course not. Now, the morality that built the West is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is the best rules of life for any society to flourish and to be able to succeed. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other idols. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Honor your mother and fathers. May live long in the land of which you are in. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not, bear false witness. Do not covet. Do not commit adultery. It's out of order, but that's still the Ten Commandments. Those rules for life is what the founders believed, so much so that they're in the halls of Congress and the Supreme Court. That we believe is transcendently transmitted to us, and that when we do not submit to those Ten Commandments, our country starts to fall apart.
But if you think about it, most wars in when religion gets entangled into a culture and even government, most wars have started because of that.
So that's a talking point that has no basis, and that's okay because a professor told you that. So let's go to the truth. And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. What religion did Mao Zedong believe in, the great murderer of China who killed 50 million people?
I don't know.
Yeah. He was an atheist. What religion did Joseph Stalin believe in, who killed over 30 million people of the Soviet Union?
An atheist.
He was an atheist. So that's...
Just to interject here, whether he knew the answer to that or not, he looked like, I'm pretty sure he was an
atheist. I'm going to say atheist.
I can kind of see where this is headed. I'm going to go atheist, locking it in.
80 million people murdered in two countries in just the 20th century that did not believe in any religion. So it's an easy talking point to say that religion causes war, but in reality, it seems as if actually totalitarian dictatorships rooted in atheism and a lack of the divine is what caused more human suffering in the 20th century than not. Adolf Hitler was not a Christian. Adolf Hitler was at war with God and thought he was God and a total maniac. So there is no basis for what you're saying. You might be thinking about like the Crusades or something like 600 or 700 years ago or the Inquisition. If that's the case... I think you need a better argument because religion actually keeps people sane, free, and moral, not towards war and conflict.
But isn't the war that's currently occurring in Israel and Palestine over religion and their land?
Yes and no. It's more over territories and boundaries. Of course, they're religious wars, but if you look at the major wars over the last 30 or 40 years even, some are religious, some are not. But Russia and Ukraine, are they fighting over religion?
No.
No. Or Central African Republic Civil War? Are they fighting over religion? No.
So Charlie Kirk, this is one of the reasons why I love this. And Brad, you're the one who picked it up for What We Missed. But Charlie Kirk is not dunking on the libs. He's not trying to own the libs. I think that we are going to see in the next, you know, our YouTube live chat poll for today, when will you consume the news the most? Before the election, which means it's in the past, after the election, right now, while we're seeing all the fallout from Donald Trump winning re-election. And then, of course, the one that I think I'm going to, I would choose in this poll is around the inauguration. Once we get into January and we see how the Biden administration, the moves they're going to make when they're wrapping things up, but then Donald Trump gets in and it's going to be boom, 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 over and over and over again. We're going to see so much action immediately. That's what they're telling us. If they don't, I'm going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm going to be keying in and focusing. I'm really saying this to my industry, but also to any of you who are going to be getting together with family and friends where you might have political differences that are going to be front and center. This is not the time to own the libs. Scoreboard. Trump won. And you know it. You know the song. Donald Trump won the election. He is going to be the president. He is going to do the things that he said he was going to do. We got to let this play out. And you will not tune into this show come January to hear us talk every day about how stupid the liberals are that you deal with every day. You know, people who you live your life next to and with and have to work with and live with and you have relationships with, because there's no productivity in that. Now, there are going to be people in the left stream media that are going to be beside themselves. And I don't really care about how we feel about those people, because they're making money to be hysterical. So let's give them what they want, attention. But it is not going to be time for us to come in here every day on this show specifically. And we're not going to do a victory dance for 4 years. We're going to do individual victory dances when policies get put into place. Because what we elected was a plan, was a focus, was a goal. It's not enough to just be like Trump won and you know it, period. We're going to have to see action over and over and over again that convinces people who might be willing to have just a sliver of an open mind about what could happen under Donald Trump that never would have happened under Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
To say, these are the things why I supported Donald Trump. Everything you thought you knew about Donald Trump before, you've been lied to about so much. I even understand why a lot of people hate him if they've only heard the absolute lies and deception that they've been told for so incredibly long, almost 10 years now. I kind of understand if that was all you were fed from so many various outlets that decided to put their hands in the middle and be team never Trump. I understand why you felt about him the way you felt about him. But at the same time, while that is taking place and Donald Trump's policies are being put into play and being successful, we need to 100% be ready to welcome people in for the first time to experience the positivity that we've been supporting. And, you know, I don't want to be listening to conservative talk anything where all it is squishing down the left.
And that's the best case scenario too, because then you know you're winning, because you're pulling people over despite the messaging. You're pulling people over because they're seeing results, and that's all we're looking for here. We don't want to win to win. We want to win because we think these things, these conservative principles, are the best way to run a country. And if they are, and they work, and they benefit you, and you realize it, then that's a win for everybody.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to next question, fun segment that we do each Friday, where you ship your questions into the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. Once you come, when you subscribe to the channel, you got to wait 5 minutes before you can comment. But if you go subscribe and you're trying to comment and it's not working, just wait 5 minutes and get your question. So here's a tip. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now and subscribe. And in the middle of the next segment, if you've got a question you want to ask, your 5 minutes will be up and you'll be able to comment with everybody who is with us each day on the YouTube live chat. You got a question for us? You got a question about what we think is going to be coming? Or you want to ask something about a penguin or something? We're all over the place in the next segment. We want you to come hang out with us there too as well. Vote in the YouTube live chat poll. When will you consume news the most? Before the election, after the election, around the inauguration? We'll be back in a minute.
In a direction I like, I can tell you that much. Ching.
What? You said they ripped off the Who?
They ripped off the Who. The beginning of that song sounds exactly like Baba O'Reilly, except they changed one note.
Ryan goes, oh, this is a remix.
I was like, oh, this, yeah, it was a I thought it was a remake of the Who. It's not.
You guys ready for a little next question?
No.
No. No, sorry.
Okay. Well,
you want to do something else?
Yeah, what else? I was going to ask you. You can't ask me that if I'm going to ask you that.
You want to do the next question?
All right, fine, Brad. You control it.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Next question.
I just didn't want to hear Kamala again.
Yeah, well, you didn't play the proper open.
An executive decision. All right.
All right. I'm going to take control and ask the first question.
You could have taken control 3 minutes ago and this would have been better.
Here we go.
Okay.
Aisle seat or window seat?
Window.
Ooh.
Every time.
Why?
Because then I don't have to deal with people.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm window seat too, because then you don't have to stand up and let anybody past you. And you get to look outside.
Yeah, but if you're aisle seat, you can get up and go to the bathroom without ever bothering anybody and never ask anybody.
I'm okay with
the only reason it matters
others.
Is if you are somebody who's going to have to get up and go to the bathroom. I know, understand at your age, you have to pee a lot.
No, I eat Super Beats.
That's not even true. The Super Beats part.
Super Beats doesn't help with that.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Super Beats slash Brian.
What? What? Don't give him credit for your... What are you talking about?
I'm going to send that to him.
Please do. Send it to Allison. No, the answer is aisle seat. The correct answer is aisle seat because you have more space.
The correct answer for you.
You can spread out a little bit more into the aisle than you can under the hard side of the window.
And then people walk up and down and they bump into your shoulder. When I'm walking up and down, I feel like I'm bumping into people.
It happens, but you still have more space when there aren't people walking by.
I don't want that space. I want to be curled up against the wall that I now wipe down after that woman vomited on it.
Oh my gosh.
Next to me. And I just was like, okay, so there's vomit.
We sat
on all of these walls everywhere all the time.
We sat on a seat on a real cheap airline coming home from Florida once, and my daughter was with me, and she doesn't fly a lot, but there was a something in between our seats that looked like how do I describe it? The Nickelodeon stuff, but orange. Like the ooze that they drop, the green ooze.
You're not implying something, you're just describing
I'm
it.
Just describing.
Okay.
It. Yeah, the Nickelodeon ooze, but it was more orange and yellowy.
Gack?
Gack.
Yeah, it would have been like gack, but it was dried. Oh, gosh. It's so gross.
I don't even care.
Like, I'm like, oh, whatever. I just downplayed it. I was like, oh, it's nothing. But I was like, oh.
He said, downplay. It's
yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
I know. Window seat. You get to look outside, which is nice and distracting. I love being above the clouds at night and seeing how crystal clear the sky is.
That's cool.
I love that. You can't get any of that when you're in the window seat. Or the aisle seat. Next question, Brad?
Yeah. So my question is, and when you first meet somebody or when you've met somebody for maybe, you know, just in the early stages, what tells you the most about that person? Something that you observe?
Brian?
The way they approach me. Like, do they approach me with fealty or do they approach me as if they're, you know, going to force me to do something I don't want to do.
Are you saying what do I notice the most about the person, or
what is it that you notice that tells you the most about that person?
How much they talk about themselves.
And what does that tell you?
How much they talk about themselves.
How selfish they are.
Well,
that would be the right answer.
I think it's human default to be self-absorbed. That is human nature. It's actually, it's like a trained skill to be among other humans and present yourself as if you care more about other people than you care about yourself. Because I gotta say, like, other than familial relationships, everybody cares more about themselves than they care about anyone else, right? Is that, that's true, right?
By default, you almost have
it's
to.
It's human nature. Yeah. So it is within the human psyche to care the most about yourself, but it takes some self-discipline to at least appear as though you're invested in something other than yourself. And some people don't have that skill, or they just don't care. And it's a lot easier to be in a relationship of any kind with somebody if they aren't only always absorbed with themselves.
What about you, Ryan?
Say the question again.
So when you meet somebody or in the early stages of getting to know somebody, what is something that you observe about them that tells you the most about them as a person?
Gosh, I want to hear what I want to know about them is what they believe.
Yeah, but what can you observe that
would
tell?
What you observe that says that? I have no idea, because it's all about that conversation that I'm having, and I'm probably going to, if I really want to know the person, and it's not just like a hello, we're at, you know, the bus stop, which I don't really do. I don't really use the bus a whole lot, so it's a bad example.
Can't answer the question.
I don't know. It's all conversation. So.
What about you, Brad?
It's hard to do this because, like, I think I understand what Ryan's saying here, because observational traits are hard for me to pick up on initially. I'll pick up on them later on, and like I'll observe a pattern or something like that.
Oh, but I'm assessing everything.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Man, I was so bad at picking up when girls liked me or disliked me before I was dating.
I missed out on so many girlfriends.
I did too, but then I also would assume girls liked me who did not.
Wait. What?
Yeah. Like, you know, the junior high girlfriends. I had a crush on this girl for the longest time, and like, finally, we moved, and I'm in a different town. I was back talking to one of my friends from the old town. He's like, you know that girl that you liked? Yeah. Dude, she had the biggest crush on you. And I'm like, whoa, how long did you know? Oh, the whole time. Why didn't you say anything? Because there was nothing that I observed that told me anything about that, and it happened on multiple occasions.
Yep.
How'd you deal with your women?
Oh, my gosh, poorly. Terribly.
I don't understand how you had that same problem, because you said you would just approach a girl no matter what. But like, I am certain she is interested.
Brad's like, I had so many women coming after me. I don't understand how you had that problem.
I didn't know it. I didn't assume it either. My default assumption was that they're not interested in me, so why bother?
Brad, you have to keep in mind, when I told that story about approaching the prettiest girl in the school and being like, you probably want to go out with me, yeah, right?
Her response was what?
Her response was, no. I'm dating, like, this is when we were freshmen in high school. She was dating a guy who was either a senior and the captain of the football team, or was already graduated. And I'm like,
and you're like, I know
but
you
it's
want
probably me.
Me
next, right? I mean, it's me. So I was completely clueless and wouldn't pick up. So when a girl didn't like me, I didn't notice. When a girl did like me, I didn't notice. So it was all yeah, across the board.
But your default assumption was, she digs me.
Yes.
I kind of.
That's mine's the opposite. False assumption still.
Kind of, yeah.
Not false, but assumption.
Mine was the opposite.
But when a girl did like me, I was completely oblivious. So it was like the worst of all worlds. And you? Atu?
What?
Anne?
All the girls that were throwing themselves at me when I was in high school?
How'd you deal with that?
I don't know. I had boyfriends. All the boys that I dated, were all really nice, great guys. Obviously, I got the best of them with Jared, but I don't know of any boys that had crushes on me in high school. I don't know of any of that.
But they might have. Is that the point? That they might have, but you didn't know?
Probably not.
You didn't have a big class, though.
Well, I went to the Lutheran High School. Well, I went to Edwardsville for 1 year, and I dated one boy from there to Edwardsville.
My graduating class was like 450 people.
And when I dated from the public high school, I think the whole time I dated him, I was at the Lutheran High School, so I wasn't in school with him. But I don't know of any like lost connections, missed connections that I of boys that were too afraid to pursue me. I was not beating them off with a stick.
I don't know if I ever told this story, but there was a girl who was absolutely gorgeous, and I basically would just talk to her just to make, like, basically, like, I'm adjacent to a beautiful girl. I know I don't have a chance with her, but I'm going to pretend like I do. That was the false confidence thing. She basically told me once she liked me and that she wanted to go out with me, and I just, I mean, you're probably joking. Like, I look back, I'm like, what are you doing? That she was telling you you liked her. I just get so mad at myself.
Here's a question from the audience on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. From Joe, he said, what's the most posh celebrity moment of Annie's career? I'm going to broaden this to be from the show standpoint. I guess there are people who consider what we do to put us in the category of being celebrity. I will tell you this. I don't ever feel like a celebrity. No. And it's very bizarre to even consider that question. When I won the first Gracie Award and got to go to New York City and got to go to this like lavish luncheon and be honored with these like actual celebrities, I seriously never thought it was real. And I've even told these guys this. When I won that, I'm like, nobody else probably submitted. I really felt like I was probably the only person in a large market midday talk show that was a female. I'm like the only one. So that's probably why I got it. But being able to like see that through and fly to New York City, I'd never been in New York City before, went as hardcore NYC tourist as I could possibly do. I would love to. We're trying to figure out how to get the show to New York City for some sort of experience like that. I don't know. I have to win another award, so don't hold your breath. But is there any moment that you guys can think of with the show where you felt like, okay?
Yeah, I mean, anytime this happens, it does feel that way. But specifically at the Tyrus event when he was in town at the pageant. you know, that's
at
people.
That's right,
the pageant at the Wildy, yeah. People come from out of town to see Tyrus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's a lot of people there who didn't know who we were or anything. They were just there to see Tyrus. But then we had a lot of listeners show up too. And when they were like, oh my gosh, I just love Tyrus. And then they turn and go, like, I love you guys, and almost put you in the same category, which we know we're not on.
No.
He's a national figure. When they do that, and then they're like, I want to get Tyrus to sign this thing, and can you guys sign it? Like, it's like they're putting you on the same level, and it feels higher than you should be.
Brad?
It's really hard for me to think of that moment, because I guess the moment would be whenever I was first recognized in public. You know,
by your uncle?
No, it wasn't my uncle. My uncle didn't recognize me until I.
How long?
So my aunt told him.
How long were you on this show? And your uncle is a listener of the show, or at least was. How long were you on? How long were you on the show before he knew that you were Brad from the Annie Fry Show?
What was it? I think it was like 3 or 4 months. So it was like, and like what happened was, is he was talking about the show and he's like, and this guy Brad on the show, and my aunt goes, his big sister goes, you know that's your nephew, right?
That is so funny.
That's great.
That is so funny. It's like Brad's living this secret life.
The other thing that I've noticed is that I have both sides of my family, my Wiggins side and my mom's side, big families, all from this area, mostly from the Metro East, that I will have people come up to me at events and introduce me as my relative, and I don't know them. Because our families are that big.
Are they claiming you, like, in their daily lives? Like, oh, Ryan Wiggins?
Probably, which I think is fun.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. All right. Well, we got more questions coming in. We've got a few of our own. So stick around if you've got a question for yourself. Get on there on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and drop your comment in the live chat there and go vote as well. When will you consume news the most? Did you do it already before the election? Is it now? You can't get enough of the news that's coming out of the transition? Or do you feel like it's really going to lock in here once the inauguration gets around in January? More Annie Fry Show and more next question next. Well, we're doing a little next question here. Your Ask Me Anything questions that you stick in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. And Info Dude says, Ask Me Anything, Annie, if you get a national radio show and can only take one of the guys with you, how mad do you think Ryan will be at you?
Really mad. You know what's going to be hard, though, for you is that if you take the show national.
Let me consider it.
And then you're doing a national show, but then you're still on in St. Louis. Like, I would only be participating in the parts that are on in St. Louis.
St. Louis parts.
So that's going to be tough on you.
Yeah.
I would say just take me with you.
What do we got to do to go national? I need you to pull your weight, Ryan.
probably one of us needs to get caught twerking somewhere, and the video goes viral. You know, something stupid.
I think your last twerking video is why we haven't gone national.
Oh. Well, then it shouldn't be me.
Just
should
Google
be Brad.
Ryan twerking. Something will come up.
We could get involved in some sort of scandal. You know, I think that would help.
Well, I'm all for you doing the scandal thing. I'm trying to be as scandal-free as I possibly can. Next question. Scoot says, have you considered taking the show to the inaugural? I'm not considering it. I would like to go. There's a difference between going and participating and covering. You can't really fully do both.
I am down for whatever. If we can be there and covering it, I will do that. And I will be very official, and I will make no jokes. If we can't cover it, I would love to sit there and make jokes, though.
97.1 will absolutely be covering it. We're not 100% sure what it's going to look like. We've got to see. Being the Fox News radio affiliate here in St. Louis, we have a lot of access to a lot of really great coverage. So on Inauguration Day, it's on Martin Luther King Day. So a lot of people will be off. So I think a lot of people will probably be consuming it visually. But it's always fun to do it with your community. And you are our community. So stay tuned. And 97.1 will update you on how we are going to be 360 covering the inauguration. I'm really excited. It would be awesome to go, though. Mm-hmm. If I were provided the opportunity to go, I'm going. But barring that, I'll be in this chair talking to you, God willing. Paul says, at this stage of life, what, if not radio, would you be doing as a career?
I would probably shoot. Like, what I would like to do or what I would have ended up doing. I guess either way. I would probably be living in a cabin. And just, you know, living with the land.
You living off the grid?
Just living with the land.
You'd last 12 hours until you got hungry.
Well, then I guess the answer is I would be dead.
This is saving your life.
Because I would head out to that. Like 12 hours later, my beard is all down to my stomach. You know, I'm all frazzled. My clothes are all torn. I'm like,
in 12 hours?
I can't do it. I can't do this.
You're like Will Ferrell in Anchorman.
Yeah.
He's out of the job for like a week, and he's feral.
Uh-huh.
Will Ferrell. Brad, what about you? What would you be doing?
I would probably be cutting grass, landscaping, and stuff like that. And then I would also be doing my youth ministry work.
Yeah.
So those two things would basically, the grass cutting would jump in where radio is now.
Mine too. Living off the land and youth ministry.
That does sound like a crime show.
Would you let him around your kids?
Your kids gonna teach you about Jesus.
I would run for office for something, I think. I would just get in it.
Uh-huh.
What would be more fun? Doing a radio show or being a politician? I think a radio show is significantly more fun.
I think so too.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's just like we're just like the two old guys from the Muppets.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to that at all. Did you have another next question?
Yeah, I can pull it up. It's pretty short though. Can anyone explain how the gift wrap sani paper is better than putting down toilet paper on the toilet seat? You know what I'm talking about?
It took gift wrap.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's that little thin tissue paper stuff.
Are you wrapping things with that?
Not this year. In the past.
Not anymore.
Yeah, you put it on somebody's porch, you light it on fire.
Can you ask that question again? And how long have you been waiting to get an answer to this?
It's been in the list for a while.
Yeah.
The gift wrap sani paper that you pull out at a public toilet, is that any better than putting a couple strips of toilet paper down on the toilet seats?
I don't know. I got to be honest. As long as we have female bathrooms, I'm not using those things.
I've never used them.
I don't get them. I just traveled, and again, I'm looking at this thing going, why would anybody use this? It's hard. You got to tear it. It's attached at weird spots. And then you put it down, and you're like, what did I just accomplish here? I'm not really sure. So I'm glad to hear that nobody else is using it either. Because I felt bad, like it's there to use.
It's a good thought. But boy, you boys suck at maintaining cleanly bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this unisex bathroom stuff, it's not a statement about people's life choices or lifestyles or identities. I don't want anybody who's going to pee on my seat. I have to sit on that thing or hover, and that is not ideal. No boys in the girls' bathrooms for that reason only.
Try being a guy.
No.
You got to sit down in the urinals.
I bet you do.
I don't want guys using the guys' bathroom.
Yeah, stay out of here.
Next question, Brad.
Oh, gosh. Got to pull my list up again.
Guys, this is called next question.
Yeah, my phone went to
sleep. What's yours? You go ahead.
I've asked like five questions here. I'm going to let you. This is your second one.
All right, what's the most expensive mistake you've ever made?
Holy crap. I don't know. What's the most expensive mistake you've ever made?
This was when I was working at a car shop. Whenever we would change the oil, you would spray down the area with brake parts cleaner because that breaks up the oil. And that way, when somebody leaves, there's no like oil drops just left over or whatever. And so I sprayed down the car with it was a Jeep, and the oil filter's on the side, so it runs down the side of the block. And I sprayed down the side of the block, and it leaked down into the starter. And when you check the oil after you change the oil, you start the starter. And you let it spin over for a little bit, and then you go and you check, make sure all the oil levels are right. When I turned the key for the starter, it arced and lit the side of the engine on fire because brake parts cleaner is really flammable. And it was one of those spots where there's a window like this one over your shoulder here, Ryan, where the customers sit and they can see you changing the oil. And that guy was sitting right there. I saw it light up, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw somebody stand up and come straight over the window. It was the owner. So he saw all of that. And then we had to replace his entire wiring harness on his Jeep.
Because you didn't have to pay for that, did you?
Not that time.
You've
screwed up allowance, and after you go out of that, then it's out of your own pocket, out of your own paycheck, and that ate up most of my "you screwed up" allowance.
Oh boy!
I think at that point you just quit, don't you?
I wasn't there much longer.
Have you made any really expensive mistakes?
Well, when I was first starting in television, I went to shoot a commercial, and I got there, and the battery on the camera—I set everything up.
Oh, no.
The battery was dead. And so they, of course, when you're shooting a commercial, the business has gone to great lengths to have either real customers there to sort of like give testimonials or be in the shot. They, you know, they're all over like setting everything up. So I had to come back the next day. Man, those people were mad. Rightfully.
I'm trying to think of them. I don't know. Probably just, I can't think of anything specific, but like you miss a deadline or something like that, and then you've got to pay useless money that if you just would have been more on top of it. I don't know. I'm pretty on it for those things. I'll probably think of something tonight, and then I'll tweet it for the world. All right, let's stick around and get to the 2 o'clock hour of the Annie Fry Show. We'll have the results of today's YouTube live chat poll at about 2:55, so keep it around for that. Before the election, after the election, or around the inauguration, when are you going to consume news the most? Stick around. Let's get Ethan in here in the 2 o'clock hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.